Scripture in this evening is taken from James, the 4th chapter. I'll be reading verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you, particularly, you know, as this morning we looked at reflecting on spiritual goals. And do you have any spiritual goals as we're about to go into the new year? And that's something that when I was a little bit younger, I actually had more time for. I would actually dedicate about a day that I would try to isolate a little bit, and I would have some prayer, and I would write down some of my goals for the next year, and I'd always have spiritual goals on that list, along with some physical goals that were on that list as well. And as I've got more children, I seem to have less time to dedicate a whole day for that. But I do try to dedicate some time to think out some goals for the next year. And as I kind of went at this morning, is I think that we all should have some spiritual goals. There's some things that, there's some work that the Lord has assigned us to do in the area of evangelism. Certainly, I think we should make some goals in that area. In edification, trying to build people up of the body of Christ, those that are around us. Certainly, there's some goals we could set there. In benevolence, there's certainly some goals that we could set there. But in order to get to the goal, perhaps this lesson should have came first, but I was kind of arguing with myself back and forth, is before I would get to my goal, the first thing I'd have to do is reflect. And I can tell you, reflecting is, I think, one of the more challenging things to do in life. I think that some people will actually miss heaven because they cannot appropriately reflect and look at their lives and make good assessments on their lives. But I always, before I wrote goals, I would have a period of reflection. I would think about the last year. I think of what transpired. I think of the things that I wrote down that said I wanted to accomplish spiritually and physically, and see at the end of the year where I ended up. I try to check in throughout the year, but sometimes, you know, life gets busy. A businessman once said, what gets measured gets accomplished. So a few years ago, I actually started tying numbers to every single one of my goals. I'd say probably about 5 years ago. So since I've done New Year's resolutions and goals about 5 years ago or so, I can't remember, I started putting numbers to every single goal. And I tell you, that made it very powerful when I started to sit down and I started to reflect. Because you start putting numbers to things, you can't hide as much as you would like to hide. And if you really reflect honestly with yourself, and you look in that spiritual mirror, as sometimes the Bible ask us to do, you know, you might be a little bit afraid of what you're seeing and what you're looking at when you start saying, this is what I wanted to accomplish, these are the numbers I connected to it, and then this is what actually transpired. What gets measured, what gets accomplished. Another individual that I listened to, I heard him say, and this one really stuck with me, is that at the end of the year, if you look back on those goals and they were not achieved, he said probably two things went wrong. And he said, if you're going to be honest, you really need to look at these two areas. One, if you did not achieve your goals at the end of the year, it's either your strategy or your work ethic. I tell you, if that doesn't hit you between the eyes, I don't know what will. If you set a goal that was realistic, and you went through the whole year and you did not achieve it, it was probably because of your work ethic or because of your strategy? I thought about that a lot. And you know what? I think a lot of people should think about that as they reflect on their lives spiritually. If I'm not accomplishing what I should be spiritually, it's either my strategy or my work ethic. And perhaps there's other things that could fall under, but I think if we're going to take on that idea of I want to be accountable for my life and my actions, certainly I think that those two umbrellas would cover a whole lot. Why didn't I read the whole Bible in a year? Well, it's either my strategy or my work ethic. That's something to think about. Well, why didn't I achieve this? It was either strategy or work ethic. I think that a lot of things could be boiled down to that, and I think that that is really sitting down into the seat of accountability and saying, let me look at my life and let me give it an honest assessment. You can make spiritual goals, but there's something that comes with being reflective, and I think it's one of the hardest things to do in this life. And I'd like to talk about why I think it is so hard to be reflective. It is so hard to look at your life and try to spot where your weaknesses are and where you've made mistakes. I think it's hard to be reflective. And I call the lesson trying to turn back time, because if you truly reflect on your life, and I think you do a Christian reflection of your life, what you will realize very quickly is, I wish I could turn back time. I wish I could turn back time. I wish I could turn back time to correct some of my bad choices. I wish I could turn back time because I have certain regrets. I wish I could turn back time, but we know we cannot turn back time, and I think the Apostle Paul really gave us the appropriate philosophy when it comes to reflection that we'll get to. But you know why it's so hard to look back? Because you get to see your choices. You know, a lot of people look at my family and they made a lot of judgments on my family, and people can make judgments on a family. And a lot of people are pretty hard on my parents for some of the decisions that they made. And my mother, she would always say, it just boils down to choices. The choices that you want to make. And I'm not saying that my family had it 100% right, but one of the things that my family was kind of heavily criticized on was that my dad actually worked multiple jobs so that my mom could stay home with the four kids. And I understand there are different situations out there, but when people would ask my family about that, they just say, we're making choices. Those are the choices that we've made, and we think those are the choices that are best for our family. You know what's really hard is when we look back and we say, you know what, I didn't make the best choices. You know, if you're really reflective, there's going to be a point in your life that's going to be very hard to look at the choices that you made. And we don't have to go too far in the Bible to see this, and that's why we have to be careful when we reflect. It can be a good teaching tool, it can be a good learning tool, but you cannot stay in the past forever. And many times, that's the trap people get into, is they will start reflecting on their life, and they'll get stuck in the past, and they will not move forward. They will not do the things that they need to do. They will get stuck in a rut, and they will not make the corrections that need to be made. You know why it's hard to reflect? It's because you get to see your choices. And some of the choices I've made in my life, I'm ashamed of. Some of the choices, as I look back, I wish I could go back and do it right. I wish I could go back and do it better. I think of choices throughout the Bible. Even about Adam and Eve, if they reflected on their lives just for a few moments, you don't think that Adam and Eve said, you know what, we wish we could go back to the garden. Face Satan one more time there in the garden. Now, we know we can't do that, but you know why it's hard to reflect? Because we get to see some of the choices that we made. And I don't know if people would go back and correct things. And I think that's really a true test of repentance, is that we get to a point where we reflect and we see the mistakes we've made, and if we're willing to say, I would go back and I would make that right and I would correct that, I think that's true repentance in many ways. You know, I wonder if you gave Cain the opportunity, would he go back and not kill his brother in Genesis chapter 4? I wonder if he gave David the opportunity. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we see David look at Bathsheba, and he looks on her, and he calls for her to come to his house. He has the affair. He is with child. He tries to cover it up. He tries to go through all that. If David could go back, would he make that correction? You know what? When you read some of the Psalms, it looks like certainly he had such a heart. I think in Numbers chapter 20, where Moses is given instructions by God to speak to the rock, and on this occasion, he decides he's going to strike the rock. I wonder if Moses could go back, would he correct that choice? I wonder if Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11, we see that Solomon marries these women, and it says there that the women turn his heart. Now, Solomon had freedom of choice, but I wonder if Solomon should go back, if he would say, you know what, that was not a good part of my life, when these women turned my heart away from God, where I allowed them to have that type of influence. I wonder if Solomon would go back. I think of Acts chapter 5, the New Testament. Acts chapter 5, we have Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira lie about what they had given to the Lord, and God strikes them dead. You know, this list could go on forever, but you know one reason why it's so hard to reflect? Because if you reflect too long, you're going to run into some bad choices you've made. You can't stay there. If you stay there, it's a trap that I think will destroy you. And I think that's one of the great values of being a follower of Jesus Christ is the forgiveness which He offers. But we can learn from our past. We can reflect on our past. But understand, when you look back, you're going to be looking at some hard things. Because you're going to be looking at some points in your life where you made choices you were not supposed to do and got involved in things that you're not supposed to be involved in. There were times in your life, things seemed right, but they were not right. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It's very hard to reflect on our lives honestly, because if we reflect on our lives honestly, we're going to see some bad choices. We're going to see some times where perhaps we walk away from the straight and narrow path, where we were walking more on the broad path than we were on the straight and narrow road. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Really, if you reflect on your life at all, you're going to see a series of choices that you made. And you realize you are at that crossroads each and every day of the choices that you're going to make. Am I going to be faithful to the Lord, or am I not going to be faithful to the Lord? Am I going to attend services, or am I not going to attend services? Many individuals, they look back on their life, they can see those bad choices, and certainly when we see those, it hurts. But we have choices to make, don't we? In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, Abel offered a sacrifice that was accepted. You know, he could have offered a sacrifice that was not acceptable to the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see Noah. It says Noah was divinely warned and prepared an ark. You know what? Noah could have decided not to prepare the ark. You have Abraham who walked away from his home to a place where he did not know where he was going. But he could have stayed home. You have Moses who left Egypt. And you know what? Moses could have stayed. Our life is made up of choices, and if you reflect, you're going to see some choices that are bad. And you know what? That makes it hard to reflect. And you know what? When you come across, as you reflect on your life, as you reflect on this last year, do you think you lived a perfect life last year? As you reflect and you look back and you see some of those bad choices that you made, you know what you start to feel? You start to feel regret. Which I actually think is one of the most powerful emotions that we have. And I've been channeled in the right direction. It can be a very powerful force, but I think it can also destroy us as well. There are many things that I regret. Words that I have said, and you know what? Sometimes where I didn't say what should have been said. It's hard to reflect. It's hard to look back and give yourself an honest look and say, look at the choices I've made. You know what? Let me not just look at the good choices I've made. Let me look at the bad choices. And you look at those bad choices, it'll touch your heart. And you've got to make sure that you handle it in the appropriate way. Things I should have done. Things I should not have done. Situations I should have said. Things that I should not have said. Times I should have attended and did not. Times I should have reached out and did not. Regret is one of the most powerful emotions, but it has to be harnessed and directed in the right direction. I think really regret, although I could be mistaken on this, I think regret is very closely associated, although it has to be directed in the right direction, I think it's very closely directed to godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. a lot of these things can get very deep and we look at it, but when we look at a bad decision we've made, we have certain emotions connected to that. And those emotions that we have with our bad choices, it should push us in the right direction. It can destroy us if we don't let these things go and start moving in the right direction. But godly sorrow produces repentance. You know what? Sometimes that can be someone talking to you about something that you should be doing that you're not doing. Sometimes it can be just simple as asking a question. Sometimes it can be a reflection on your own life. And as you reflect on those choices, it leads you to a place where you're sorrowful and you want to do better. Now, I think about Esau. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says this. It says, "Let there be any fornicator, profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance." Esau sells his birthright, and then as time goes on, he wants to get that birthright back. And we see that he realizes he has made a bad choice. And from that bad choice, we see that there's regret and sorrow. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to repent. He wants to change. But you know what? It's too late. What a sad predicament that someone has sorrow. Somebody gets to a point where they want to change, but they can't because it's too late. Luckily, on this side of the grave, we all have that opportunity. We have the opportunity for our hearts to be pricked. We have the opportunity for us to reflect on bad choices that we've made, to go through the process of godly sorrow and say, "I want to change, and I want to be better." And I think that this can happen at the end of a year, of course, but really, it can happen each and every day of our lives when we realize and we reflect on things that we have done, and we want to go back and make it right. You know that we are supposed to be responsible and accountable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." There will be in a day of accountability. And you know what? You will not be able to blame God for your sin. You will not be able to blame God for your mistake. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." When it comes to judgment day, when it comes to bad choices, God bears the responsibility. And we're very fortunate that when we have broken the law, which we have, God has said, "I will take your place and offer you forgiveness to go back, have a second chance in many respects, have your sins washed away, and start anew, and be better. Be better than how we were in the past." I think that's hard when it comes to sin. Many people are in the excuse business. They like to point everywhere but themselves. And there are so many places in the Bible where we can look, and when it comes to sin, the accountability really falls on our shoulders. We're very thankful that God intervenes and gives us this path where we can be forgiven. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says this. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to handle. And I heard someone say one time, "I wish God didn't think so much of me, because I seem to be going through a whole lot. I went through cancer, I went through this, I went through that. I wish God didn't think so much of me, because I went through all these trials and adversities." But God knows, whatever you go through in this life, you can handle it. Now we know as human beings that we're going to fall short. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, at some point in our lives, that God does give us that opportunity to resist, to escape, to pick the right choice. The Satan is so good at tempting individuals. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, things of the world, distracts everyone from what they should be doing. But what a blessing it is that we can be forgiven. Do you know why it's hard to reflect? Because when you reflect on your life, you reflect on your choices. And if you look too long, you're going to find a choice that was not right, that was not good. And when that happens, I think that there's a lot of regret, there's a lot of sorrow. I think some of this can be godly sorrow that leads us to repentance. It leads us to shame. When I see that I wasn't doing something that I should have been doing, and then I come to that realization, and I go through that process, godly sorrow can lead to repentance. It can lead to change in your life. But a lot of people don't have the courage to get to that point. To reflect on your life to the point that you'll cry. To reflect on your life to the point that you say, I was wrong. To reflect on your life to the point that you say, I'm sorry. You want to make goals for the next year? First thing you need to do is reflect. You need to find those weak points. You need to find those areas that we can be better. And certainly there are all areas that we can be better. And I think that we are blessed with Sandyville Church of Christ, our family, and we're blessed that we fill each other's voice sometimes. And I mentioned this in the lesson a few weeks ago. We have some great encouragers and we have some great rebukers. Usually you're good at one or the other. And you can say that I'm good at one, or you can say I'm good at the other, but we've got people that are great at encouraging, some that are great at rebuking. There's some people, they will tell you exactly what's wrong, what needs to be done, but they're not as good at the encouraging. We've got some great encouragers at Sandyville, but they're not the best at saying, you know what, you really need to be at service. We all have areas to work on. We all have areas to improve, and myself is included. But the only way you're going to get there is if you have an honest assessment of yourself. And if you do that honest assessment of yourself, it should lead to godly sorrow. That leads to repentance, that leads to change. You know, I think Paul got many things right. Although, when I look at Paul, I think he is so interesting in this area. But you think Paul reflected on his life? I think he did. Now, he said this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. And I think it's pretty powerful because I think that, yes, we need to reflect for what purpose? So we can learn and we can change and we can be better. But Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 says this. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, I think there are some truths there that we do need to look at and consider. Is that some of these things of our past we do have to forget. But we don't want to carry, we want to carry the lessons of our past so that we can be better Christians. But there are many things that we do have to leave behind if we're going to serve God the way that we should. You know who can dig up more dirt on you than anyone else? You. Many times we're very hard on ourselves. Many times we have very negative self-talk that I think actually holds people back from their potential of being a good New Testament Christian. Because they will negative self-talk themselves to a point where they basically aren't serving the Lord at all because they talk themselves to a point where they can't do anything. Some things we do have to leave behind. But don't leave behind the lessons of this life. Don't leave behind the mistakes where you have reflected and you have learned. I have always thought about this verse time and time again. I don't know if I totally have it still. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, it says this. It says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, I think there are many points that Paul is trying to make in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I don't think that I can really hit on all of those, but it has always struck me that Paul, while making very valid points about Jesus' forgiveness, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. Now, in order for Paul to say that, what type of mindset is he in? Now, I think he's trying to make points, and perhaps it just boils down to that, as Paul's trying to make a point. But in order to make that point, I think Paul at least has to be aware of his past. Aware that he basically killed Christians. I could have this wrong, but I think Paul could look at his past. But there are certain aspects that I think, as much as he could humanly possibly do, he had to forget some of those things in order so he could serve the Lord. Because certainly, Paul could bring up all kinds of excuses that so many times people bring up when it comes to serving the Lord. Paul could have said, I can't serve the Lord, I've killed Christians. I can't do it. What, you want me to preach? Look at my past. Look at what I have done. Paul was a great servant of the Lord. He reflected on his life, and I think it hurt him to reflect on his life. He learned the lessons, and he moved forward. He had to forget some of those things that were behind, so he could press forward. He didn't carry some of that baggage that could have so easily held him back. He could have said, I can't preach. I can't teach. I can't serve the Lord, because look at my past. Look at what I've done. It's always struck me that he brings that up, which I know he's making some powerful points in the context, but he says, of whom I am chief. There's some things we've got to leave behind if we're going to serve the Lord. We have to realize that He has forgiven us. He has forgiven us of our lawless deeds. He is merciful. He is gracious. He will remember them no more. And what a blessing that is. But if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have to reflect. And once you've done your reflection, it's time to repent and move on. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul tried to teach throughout his life. I made some mistakes. I acknowledge those mistakes. I've reflected on those mistakes. I've got to leave some of those behind and move forward with the lessons that I've learned. Paul did not let his past hold him back. You know, sometimes when you reflect on a year that perhaps was rough on you and your family, those around you, and then sometimes you can look back on a year and say, you know what? This is a hard year. I didn't accomplish the things that I wanted to accomplish. There are things that happened to me personally that have hurt me and drained me emotionally. But I'm going to have to get up and run again and do the best I can in service to the Lord. We're going to make mistakes, but we need to learn from those mistakes. But when I reflect at the end of the year, I tell you, those hard questions that I ask myself is, why did I not accomplish this? Was it because of strategy? Was it because of work ethic? Or was it because of something else? I think it's possible for a third option, but I really look at those two really hard. If I did not accomplish something, was it because of strategy or was it because of work ethic? I tell you, that puts me on the hot seat quite a bit. Have you made goals for the next year spiritually? I pray that you do. Have you reflected on your last year? And maybe you'll get to the point of godly sorrow and say, I need to change. And certainly I think that's what God is looking for us to do throughout our life. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. We'd love to help you any way we can. If you come, if we stand, as we sing.